And so let's be sure we pray for them that they'll have a safe trip. You know, have you ever made promises to people? I see people sometimes making promises that there is no way they're going to be able to fulfill those promises. Don't make a promise to people that you can't fulfill. Now, tell them I'm going to try, with the Lord's help I'll do that or something. But don't make promises you can't fulfill. Now, Jesus made some promises, and I want us to look at these, and we can call them promises or blessings that he had said he was going to give to them. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 13 and verse 16. Matthew 13 and verse 16. Jesus made a promise here. It was a promise to his disciples. His disciples faced many hardships. They faced people that were after them, people that were trying to take their life. They were on edge most of the time because that some people had promised that what they were going to do was to kill Jesus Christ. And so if they're with him, the possibility of them being hurt was also great too. And so he was trying, I think, to emphasize to them some of the blessings that they were going to get. And they needed to know that. They needed to understand that. They needed to understand what they had right then. Most people do not appreciate what they have right now. We just don't appreciate it. We're looking for something in the future. Or we're looking back at the past. You know, those good old days that when you really get to thinking about it were not that good. And I guess we get old enough to where we forget all those things we had to go through in those good old days. And they may look real good in our minds, but we don't want to go back there. Now, listen to what Jesus said here. Jesus said to these disciples, Matthew 13, verse 16, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you," I'm telling you something, recognize where you are right now, he's trying to say, "I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." He's saying to them, in the past, there have been prophets that you revere, that you honor. They have been prophets that they have preached the word and suffered a great deal, and they would love to be here today to hear the Son of God speaking. They would love to be here and to see the miracles that I'm performing. And he's not bragging on himself. He's really saying, I want you to see what God has done. And these people, that's what they wanted to see. And they were promised that these things were going to happen. And many of those people never saw any of those things fulfilled. They never saw it. They were never a part of it. But he said, I want you to think about that. Then turn over, if you would, to Matthew the 10th chapter and verse 1. Matthew 10 and verse 1. He said, I want you to realize what you're seeing. I want you to realize not only what you're seeing, but what you can do. Now, here he is, Jesus, and when he had called the 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over the unclean spirits. Now, at that time, they had unclean spirits that would possess people, but Jesus had given them a power over these to call them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. Verse 7 and 8, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, then you give it away and you take just what you paid for it. You paid nothing for it, and so you give it." So here these people were going to go out. These disciples were going to go out, and they were going to go out and raise the dead. They were going to heal the sick. They were going to heal the blind. They were going to help people in some of the problems that they had to deal with. And they were given this power. Now, not all the people in the Bible had that kind of power. Now, we can see this from time to time. Maybe some of the prophets, not all of them had this power to where they performed miracles. Some of them were those that just preached and taught the word. And you see, we look at the miracles that they did. We look at the miracles that were performed, and we get lost in those things. Don't get lost in those miracles. Too many people in the world have got their whole life tied up in looking for a miracle to happen in their life. Look at the things that are important. The things that were important to those people at that time was that Jesus Christ was there before them. The world had got to see that because Jesus was proving that He was the Son of God. And He was proving to the people, and these guys were going to go out and preach in the future. And some of those people probably could come and hear them preach and say, you know, I remember the time when Matthias and all of them came and he healed my grandmother, my grandfather, my child. When he did that, he's got to be a person from God. So let's listen to the words that he gives. That was their credentials being proven, the miracles that were being performed. And Jesus gave that to them to go out. And he told them, you go out and you tell those people that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's ready to be here. So not only were they able to see great things that other people wanted to see, not only were they able to do great things that other people had not even done and most Christians would never do. But look, turn to Matthew 4, verse 19 and 20. Matthew 4, 19 and 20. They're going to become great too. Then he said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Now you just think about that. Well, what if I came to your house this week and I told you, you need to quit your job and you need to become a preacher and you need to go preach the gospel. Now, before you either hit me or committed me, think about it. That's what these fellows were going to do. And it was not a time where they had something they could rely on. It was a matter, if you didn't work, you didn't what? You didn't eat. There was nothing there to take care of people, basically. Now, I know under the Jewish law, they had those that were helped and those that were dealt with in a way. But the world was a place where if you didn't work, you didn't eat. They paid a fellow for his day's work because he had to buy bread for his family that night. It wasn't a matter of him having it stored up and having money in the bank. I guess it might be kind of like the fellow that they arrested the other day. They may have put it in jars in the backyard. His was a little different, okay? They had to hide the money. They had to put it up. And if they lost it, I remember a lady that swept her house and cleaned her house so she could find it because it was important. Here we have those people that are being told, listen, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Now leave your nets and come and follow me. The disciples even ask, Lord, what, you know, I hate to ask this question, Lord, but what are we going to get out of this? Now, is it wrong to ask that? I don't think so. If you're going to work for somebody, don't you want to know what you're going to be paid? Because somebody would work you all, some people would work you all day and not give you anything if they could get by with it. But you want to know, what am I going to be paid? These disciples want to know, what are we going to receive for this? We've left houses, we've left lands, we've left our mothers, our fathers, we've left our families, and family was the thing at that time. I mean, families stuck together. Can you remember that time when families were a great unit? And they usually worked together and stayed together. Now, we might not see our family for a while, except our immediate family. But here Jesus is trying to say to them, and he's trying to tell these disciples, listen, there's a reward that you're going to receive. There's blessings that you're going to receive in your life. And you need to understand those blessings and understand how important it is. And he explained to them, nobody has left father or mother or brother or sister or land or houses that they're not going to receive 100-fold. Does that mean I'm going to get 100 houses? No, it means you're going to get a reward that's better than anything you could ever get. and that's heaven. Now, not just when you get there in the future, but it's even now. Let me ask you a question. Where would you be if you weren't a Christian? Where would you be tonight if you weren't a Christian? I think sometimes we need to think about that. We need to think about our lives and what we have received out of this. How has Jesus Christ really changed your life? How has He made a difference in your life? You know, some people can stand up, and I've heard people stand up before. Heard a young man standing up the other day, and he said he had had some problems with pornography for years. Preacher's son. He'd had problems with it for years. And he said, I'm working through it. I'm trying to... Boy, that's a dramatic thing, isn't it? When somebody stands up and is willing to stand there and admit that their life was really in a mess and they've changed it. Boy, we go, man, that's fabulous. But isn't it a great thing when those people that have really lived a pretty good life as far as the world is concerned, have been good people, when they change their life, when they hear the gospel and they obey the gospel, whether at a younger age or an older age, they obey the gospel and they follow the gospel. How has Christianity affected you? What have you received out of Christianity? Not what will you receive in the future, but what have you received now? Now I want to mention a few things that these people had received. They had received their faith. You know, we looked at Romans 10 and verse 17 this morning, where it talks about faith is something that we receive from God. It's something that God blesses us with, and it's received from where do we get that faith from? Hearing what? The Word of God. And we hear that word, and it builds our faith. Do you realize how wonderful it is for everybody here tonight to have a Bible? I mean, we don't even think about that. Their East European Missions is going to have a dinner in a few weeks, and I want to invite anybody that wants to come. I'll give the dates and all that on that. But they're going out and giving Bibles. They're going to Romania. They're going to a place in Romania where I went 20 years ago, and they're just going to give Bibles away. Hundreds of Bibles. Now, you have an opportunity to help them to do that, because when you go to this dinner, they're going to ask you for money. That's okay. No big deal. You understand that? That's what they're going to do. That's their job. And they take Bibles and they put them in the hands of people all over the world. Remember the time, I forgot how many it was, 200,000 or 300,000, that they carried to Russia and gave away? I think they came here and reported on that and talked about that, and they did it. And now they're going to go to Romania, and they're going to be doing it there. They really do it all over the world. We just don't realize what it is to have a Bible. I mean, I've always had one. You know, even when I didn't follow it, I had one. And so here's the blessings that we have. Here's the blessings of having a faith. We gain our faith not by just the worship service, and that's an important part of it, but we gain our faith by a study of the Word of God and what it has to say. It's been confirmed. It's been proved true time and time again. And I know there's people that have denied the Bible, denied the inspiration of the Bible. I understand that. They have fought this book for years upon years upon years. And let me tell you something, they hadn't defeated it yet. And they won't. This is from God. Let me tell you something. You go up against God, you're going to lose. That's it. You're going to lose. Now, look at what these people were able to see. In Mark, the 4th chapter, verses 35 through 41, and I'm not going to try to read all that, but here we see a miracle being performed. We see a great miracle. We see this miracle, and it's the stilling of the sea. Jesus gets in a boat with the disciples, and they're going to go across the water. He's in the back of the boat. Maybe there's a cover over it. He's laying on a pillow and he's sleeping. The water becomes scary. That's just all I can say. Some of you told me about being on the sea and and the waves 20 foot high, that's no place I need to be. Humans are not supposed to be in water that deep, especially with the waves coming at you. It just, my son joked one time when I was sick, his brother was sick, my grandson was sick, and Danny stood up and said, "We're a seafaring family." We thought about throwing him overboard, but we didn't. We kind of liked him, so we kept him. But here these fellows are, and not only is the water up, but the water's in the boat. And you've got some fellows that are rowing for their dear life, and you've got some fellows that are bailing for their dear life, and Jesus is sitting in the back on a pillow asleep. What did the disciples say to him? Do you remember the song? That's exactly it. Do you care if we perish? Did he care? Yeah. What did he do? He came out. He said, "Winds, hush. Sea, be still." Oh, you just think about that. You're seeing all these waves, and you're hearing the wind whistle, and all of a sudden, it is calm and quiet. Both the air and the water. These fellas, they believed then. They believed because they had seen it. Blessed are those people who will believe, Jesus said, when they have not seen these things, but they believe it because it's written by God in His book. Wouldn't you love to see the sea stop? In its turmoil, hear the wind as it just gets calm and quiet. Some people say, "Oh man, I'd believe if I could see that." Let me tell you something. You can read about it here. You can read what happened. And if you don't believe this book, you wouldn't believe it if you were there. Remember, these are the same disciples that a little bit later are going to leave Jesus. And he tells some of them, "You're going to do that." And they say, "Oh, no, oh, not me. I'm going to stand here till I die." Now, who was that guy? Peter? That said that? Wasn't it Peter that said that? And then he put his sword down and left. And the rest of them left. And I'm not being critical of them. I probably would have done the same thing, to be honest with you. We got to be people of faith. We got to be people that believe. And let me tell you something. Those people, they didn't have it easier than we did. We could go on. We could go on in chapter 5 and see there a miracle that was performed where Jesus, they come out of the boat or on the dry land, and here's this fella, this demoniac fella, this fella that his mind is gone, this fella that they tried to bind time and time again, but it hadn't worked, and he's there, and Jesus cast the demons that are in him out in the swine. Remember that story? Read that story. The power that he had, the might that he had. And you see, the disciples were able to see that. We could go on and on and on with the miracles that Jesus performed, and the purpose of those things was not just to show people what he could do, but to help people to see that he was the Son of God. Remember what the fellow Nicodemus said to him in John 3? "We know that you're a teacher come from God. No other man could do the things you do except God be with him." We know that. Let me tell you something. Some people at that time had to work real hard not to believe. But if you don't want to believe, nobody can force you to. Nobody can do anything to cause you to. If you've made up your mind, you're not going to believe. That's it. Brethren, we've got to understand that. We've got a blessing of being able to believe. We've got a blessing of being able to have faith. And here, the same thing that said to those disciples about their people, that they wanted to see what you see, they wanted to hear what you hear. Let me tell you something. Jesus could say the same thing about us today. Couldn't he? Yeah. You just look at what we're able to see, what we're able to hear, what we have. I'm talking about our spiritual blessings, not physical stuff, not cars and houses and land and money and all that stuff, but the spiritual blessings that we have. You just go back in the Old Testament and see some of those things those old prophets went through. And some of them fought until the day they died. And some of them didn't die a good death either. Some of them were pulled apart. Some of them were stoned. Some of them starved. I don't look like I missed a meal in a long time. What about you? Well, I start to say some of you don't, but I'm not going into that. It's not nice to talk about people's weight, is it? But that's the way it is. And all the, I mean, we could go on. Jesus in Mark 6 fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And those people were there to see it. They were there to see it and see the miracles as it was performed. They were helped in their faith, and God has given us His Word so that we can have faith, so that we can believe. But not only that, He gave them the blessing of courage. He sent those fellows out, and He said, listen, you can go out, and the demons, you can overcome those demons. You can cast them out. You can go out, and you can raise those people that were dead. You know those people that were sick that you were talking about in that town back there? You can go back there and heal those people now, Jesus said to them. You have the power to be able to do that. He gave them courage to be able to go on. They came back from this short journey and they were talking about what they had done, what had happened there. All these blessings were given to them because of God. All the courage. Let me tell you something. It doesn't take courage to stand up and speak, does it? These young men that are speaking, it doesn't take much courage for them to do that, does it? It's easy to do. It's real easy to do that. You want to jump up here and do it in front of other people? Let me tell you something. It takes a lot to go from that pew up here. Stand up with all these eyes looking at you. And you're trying to go over a lesson that you thought you knew. But your nerves said, oh no, it's going away. It's not easy to do. And that's the reason that we brag on them for what they do. That we are thrilled about what they do. Because they have courage. We've got to have courage. Jesus said, go and teach other people. It's not an easy thing to do that. It takes courage to do that. Because what if those people say, I don't want to hear that. And some of these people, in fact, all the apostles except for one, wasn't it, died a very violent death. Because people didn't like, but they kept on preaching. Paul said, I'm going to preach Jesus Christ no matter what. He said, I'm in a strait sometime between two. I don't know whether I, in a way I'd like to leave this old world and go on to a heavenly reward because I've kept the faith. I haven't given up. I've kept that. But he said, it's better for me to stay here. Boy, it took courage to say that and to go through the things I got to go through for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what I've got to do. And not only the blessings of those things, but the blessings of service, the blessing of being able to serve God. Not just serve the Lord's Supper. That's a part of it. That's not all of it. But the service of being able to follow Him. Listen to Mark 9 and verse 35. And He sat down and called the 12 and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, let him be last. If anybody wants to be, for whosoever gives you a cup of water to drink in My name, because you belong to Christ, or in My name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, He will have His reward. He's not saying, you got to do greatest things in the world. He's saying, you can just take a cup of water in My name. Whatever you do, do it in My name. And there's the blessing. Boy, we minimize the things that we do, and we don't need to do that. I'm going to tell you something. We think about some of the ladies and all the food they prepare. And ladies, you may think, that's not that big a deal. If I could preach, man, that'd be a big deal. Let me tell you something. If a family is hungry and there's food there, they like it better than sermons. That's exactly right. They like it a lot better than sermons. And you may say, well, they got food, they can fix it. But I'm telling you, if you're sick and you're down and you don't feel good and you don't feel like standing up and you've got a husband saying, I'm hungry, and kids are going around saying, we haven't had anything to eat in months. It's a pretty good thing. I know I'm being a little overly on that, okay? But kids can miss two meals and it's like they hadn't had anything in a year. But those are great things. Don't minimize what you do. Don't minimize the blessings that you have. Don't minimize what the Lord has given you, because He's blessed us so, so much. I was talking to a missionary the other day. He said, you know, I wish I could just take everybody with me when I went. Oh, Robert, I bet you Robert wish he had every one of us over there. How many times he preached today? Four times. And that they this morning, Faye was telling me 200 baptisms today. What if you were at a place where there were 200 baptisms in a day? What would that be? Wouldn't that be thrilling? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Let me tell you something. Robert, tell us about it when he gets back. We need to be just as thrilled as though we were there. We need to be thankful that he goes and other people go. Mixed Daddy and other people that are working with him. Ron Clayton and all of them. And that's just one place. That's just one place. And might have somebody in the Philippines by now working. And you see, look at all that we have. Look at all that we've been given. Look at all the blessings that God has promised us. And we can't even stand here or sit here and think about all of them. We can't conceive all of them. What should we give Him? He's promised He will deliver. We've promised. You said, when did I promise that? When you stood up here or maybe in another building somewhere and you said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and I want to give Him my life, I'm going to be immersed in water. That's when you made all these promises. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll suffer what you want me to suffer. I'll serve wherever you want me to serve. No matter what it is, that's a promise we made. Boy, we got to keep that promise. Because we promised Jesus Christ. We promised God. Because when you become a Christian, that's who you give your life to. Not to me, not to these elders, not to anybody else, but to Jesus Christ. Think about the blessings you have. Think about the promises God has made. And we could stand here all night talking about the promises that He's made to us. He'll keep every one of them. Every one of them. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you need to become a child of God. If you're here tonight and there's sins in your way, you need to repent of them. You need to turn from them. If you want the prayers of the church, we want to pray with you and help you in any way that we can. Not because we're better, but because we're here.